Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the worship and praise. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, Help Me to Be Kind Like You. Jesus was a gentle soul. The only time that he had to confront his opposition is with the religious leaders who were at that time taking full advantage of the people of God. And he had to truly stand against that opposition. But in his 3.5 years of ministering, we see the grace of God, the mercy of God, and then we see it trickle down to the apostles that they too understood that Jesus was a gentle soul. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's read together verses 29 through 32. And the Word of God reads, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." That is so key. Yes. Because since we are sealed now by the grace of God, God's going to come back to redeem us back to himself in the new body. Can I get an amen? But there are some things that God is requiring now. Did you know there's some things that we must do as well? Listen, salvation is free. It was freely given. But now God is saying, if you are truly his child, there's some things that we now have to walk in. And let's look at this right here in verse 31. Let all bitterness, look at this. Let all bitterness, wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be what? Put away from you. See, this is something we have to now put away. Can I get amen? Why? Because in this flesh is so easy to be angered. It can be ticked off in a heartbeat. Can I get amen? Even a strange look toward your way will set you off. Can I get amen? So he says in verse 32, Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, it says, and be kind. Say that with me. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That's one of the hardest things right there. We're going to take a look at that. Forgiving one another. There are some people that have done us wrong. Can I get amen? There's some people that have done you wrong. And when you think of their name, it's like the hairs on the back, like a cat stand up. Huh? Well, see, you know, one of the things we use a cliche, you know, hey, I've forgiven you, but I'm not going to forget. So we forgive, but we still remember. You see, aren't you so blessed that Jesus has forgiven us for everything? He has tossed our sins from the east to the west, and he remembers them no more. He doesn't remember what you did yesterday. He don't remember what you did 10 years ago. He has washed it in the blood. Can I get an amen? And so I'm hoping that this message will speak volumes to our spirit that we need to be kind like Jesus. Can I get an amen? Verse 32, and be what? Kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. How many truly believe that he is, that you know with your heart of hearts, that he has forgiven you? Yes. Oh, yes. Come on, huh? He has. And you need to take that to the bank. You need to seal that in your own heart, that he has forgiven you for so much. And guess what? We're undeserving. We don't deserve this grace. You know what he gave us beyond his grace? Because his grace, it's bottomless. It's like an ocean. How many of you can swim across the world? Just swim. No, the ocean is vast. Well, his grace is vast. But one key attribute that he bestowed upon you and I was his mercy. He had mercy. We were so undeserving. And so let's look at this right up here. Kindness is one of our most desirable qualities. Can I get amen? And so, saints, it's an attractive character trait that has nothing to do with physical appearance. Nothing. It's something that we're going to learn that being kind is a learning process. Can I get amen? It doesn't come naturally. And we're going to see in God's word what does come naturally, what comes forth from our heart. Jeremiah 17:9, the prophet said, the heart is deceitful above all, desperately wicked. Who can know that? I, the Lord, search the hearts and try the reins. So we know what we're made of. We know that in this flesh there is no good thing. Can I get amen? And so although it's an internal virtue, it expresses itself externally in action. There must be an action to our character, to our attitude, the way we portray ourselves. Can I get amen? You see, saints, we're naturally drawn to people who treat others graciously. And God desires his attribute for all of his children, you and I. There's no one excluded in the kingdom of God. He wants us all to have the attribute of love and kindness and gentleness. Amen? Now, in the book of Titus, we're reminded in this. Look at this. Titus 3, 1 through 6. Remind them. Say that to your neighbor. We need to remind each other. So say, turn to your neighbor and say, remind them. To be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every what? Good work. God wants to produce good work in us. Can I get amen? Amen. To speak evil of no one. Listen, if you have nothing good to say about someone, just zip it. Yeah. Don't even say nothing. Why? Because let me just say this. People love to hear someone else's misery. You know why? You know what that does? It allows us to rise above them. Well, I'm better than that. Come on, give me more. I want to know more. No, if there's nothing good to say, don't say it at all. Why? Because people like to get people to side with them. And a lot of times that other person is not there to defend themselves. And all of a sudden, you're thinking what? Something that may not even be true about that person. That's why the word of God says, speak evil of no one. To be what? Peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to what? All men. For we ourselves were once foolish. Okay, so this is our past. We're reminded in the word of God who we truly were. Can I get amen? And how we can still be if we don't learn the attributes of God. For we ourselves were what? Once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's not you, was it? Okay, I'm sorry. It was just me. God reminds us, huh? But now, this is what had to take place. Jesus had to come. Because before he came, we were all operating in that apparatus. What's up? You know, I grew up in National City. You looked at me funny. What up, man? Oh, come on. We were like that, weren't we? But look at this in verse 4. But when the kindness, say that with me. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, what? Appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according, here it is, but according to his mercy. Hallelujah. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Whom he poured out on us abundantly. God is not stingy. He has given us so much. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I believe the Holy Spirit should permeate out of your life every day. That people need to see a true change in you. Hallelujah. There are some people that are still bitter. And they're still walking around with wrath in their heart. But when they see you, they need to see the love of God. They need to see grace and mercy. Can I get an amen? That's right. And so look at this. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the Ephesians, giving them instructions regarding two contrasting attitudes. First of all, he said to put away bitterness. We just read that, right? Put away wrath, anger, clamor, slander. That's one of the worst things, is just to slander someone and they're not there to defend themselves. Can I get an amen? Amen. And malice, because they no longer fit in our new identity in Christ. Look what Ephesians 4:31 says. We just read it. So let all bitterness, right? How many of you can honestly say you've been bitter? How many can say you've been bitter even after you got saved? Oh. How many of you have poured out wrath? And what? And anger and clamor and speaking, evil speaking sometimes, right? And then God has to take you, he has to take you on a timeout by you and him, and then you, a conviction comes. Yes. Oh, God, I shouldn't have said that.
Yep. Thank you, Father.
Oh, yes. You see, saints, when we were saved, we became new creatures in Christ, transformed by the Holy Spirit in Christ's image. Can I get amen? Instead of being defensive and demanding, we are now, you and I are called to be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving continually. Yeah, my brother's going to get on my last nerve. How many right now do you know people that are on your last nerve? Huh. There's some people in your life that you don't care to see anymore. There is. It's an unfortunate thing, but it's human nature, isn't it? And so we're dealing with flesh versus the Spirit of Christ that comes in. Because when he truly comes in, guess what? I don't care what that person has done. I'm going to forgive like Christ forgave. Can I get amen? And let me tell you, when you come to that place with God, mountains will move in your life. Oh, yes, it will. I've seen it happen in my own life. To truly let go and let God and forgive. And then that's when God can come in and restore. He can reconcile. He can patch things up like you could never do in all of your whole life. God will do it all by himself. And then you'll know that it's him. And then you will glorify him and thank him. You see, my friends, in Ephesians 4:32, it says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, what? Forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. We get that. So since Paul was writing from prison, so he wrote these letters of forgiveness, of reconciliation, in prison. How many of you, if you were apprehended for something maybe you did or did not do, and now you're in Donovan's prison, how many love letters can you write? Or is it, I can't wait to get out of here? Listen, in the prisons of 2,000 years ago, they didn't have the amenities that we see at Donovan's prison. Donovan's prisons has running hot and cold water. They got toilets they can flush. They got big screen monitors where they can watch a football game if they've behaved themselves that week, right? Paul was chained in prison, rat infested, urination everywhere, feces everywhere. And this is where they had to live, in the stench of prison there. And yet, he found it in his heart because he was filled with the power of God to write about forgiveness. That takes a supernatural act of God, because we cannot do it all by ourselves. There's nothing in us, the Bible says, that's good. It takes a supernatural power of God to come in and give us divine revelation regarding this issue of the heart. And so, he had every right to be bitter because of this mistreatment, yet he advocates a courteous, compassionate, forgiving attitude. This shows us that kindness is an appropriate response for every circumstance. That's right. And so, saints of God, if we allow the Holy Spirit to live through us, we too can display kindness to others, even in the most trying situations. How many of you been tried and gone through with people that, wow, Some things you've experienced with people that you won't even repeat with no one no more. Can I get amen? So let's look at the attributes of the Lord God Almighty. Number one, God is what? Kind. Look at King David wrote, the Lord is righteous and in all his ways, and he's what? Gracious in all his works. God's gracious. He always keeps his word. Did you know that God cannot lie to us? He's not like a man that we can lie all day long. I'm sorry. We can. But God is not like a man that would lie to us. He tells us the truth. He always keeps his word. Even his discipline of the rebellious is evidence of his kindness. Did you know he's still kind to the rebellious? I like to say it like this. If God was cruel and evil, he would step on us like a cucaracho. Oh, I mean roach. Huh? And I'm done with you. Has he done that to us? Even in the midst of our rebellion. Even in the midst of us soiling our pants before him, causing a ruckus, he's still merciful to us. Can I get amen? Look at what it says in the book of Joel. So rend your heart and not your garments. Look at that. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and what? Merciful. This is why run to God when you fall short. I remember, you guys all know Bishop Trout, right? He'll be here in December to speak for me. But his father, I grew up in his father's ministry. He shared an awesome story that when he was 9 years old, his mom would take a switch. You know what a switch is? It's like a fishing pole that's been broken off. And now that thing, man, I'm telling you, if it comes with some authority, it'll put a welt on your leg. So every time he disobeyed, she'd be coming with that switch. And man, he would try to run away, but man, that force would come and whap. So he figured out something really quick. Instead of running from her, he ran to her. And he would lock onto a leg. And he would start crying, no, mom, no, 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 no. So all of a sudden, he's not running away. He's running toward her. She would drop the switch. And then she would pick him up. And then she would start reconciling and restoring him and showed the love of God toward him. And then he understood. He understood at a young age, listen, we're all going to fall short. Can I get amen? But when we do, run to God. Don't run away from God. Because it stings that much more when we run from God. That's right. And so look at what it says here. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. This is who God is. This is the God that we serve. And he relents from doing harm. He's not there to hurt us. He's there to help us. Especially when we become knuckleheads, you know, and we fall so short. He said, you know what? I still love you. My position for you is not changing. I will chastise you, but it's for your own good. But I won't leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. Saints, he doesn't ration his grace and goodness, but lets it overflow in our lives. Can I get amen? Listen, when we woke up this morning, his grace, his love, his mercy was upon us. Even when we were asleep, he was watching over us. Can I get amen? With or without your CPAP machine, he was there for you. Come on. Look what Paul wrote to the Galatian church. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ what? Who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so he goes on to say, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. It's not about the do's and don'ts. I've been to some really dogmatic religious churches, and there's the do's and don'ts. Don't do this, do this, don't do that, don't. And if you're not conformed their way, then guess what? You must be in sin. No, it's not that. It's but the grace of God that we're here. Can I get an amen? Jesus said, come as you are, I'll clean you up. I will dress you. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. But we're quick to judge someone. My goodness. My goodness. Because if it was about our righteousness, then Jesus died in vain. Can I get amen? It's all about the righteousness of Christ. That's right. Because it's what he's done in our lives. He's the one that has changed us. He's the one that has called us from darkness into his marvelous light. Let's look at our next principle. Number two, God's kindness is manifested through you. Can I get amen? That's right. It's through you. Saints, once we've trusted Christ as our personal Savior, our sins are forgiven and we receive a clean slate from that moment on. Can I get amen? I know it's hard to fathom. Listen, there's some things that we transgressed in our BC years before Christ. And a lot of times those things that happened in the past, they somewhat still creep in and they haunt us. I'm here to let you know that God has washed us from that. Can I get an amen? God has set us free. For whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. You should not allow that past to come in no more. Because you know what? I'm a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creature in Christ. We got a new position in Christ. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Listen, we have royalty flowing in our veins. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is flowing through our veins. Hallelujah. We need to rise above the situation at hand. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. We shouldn't be walking around all moping and doping. Oh, come on. We need to be representatives of the King of Kings and the Lord. That's why we're called ambassadors of Christ. Can I get amen? Are you an ambassador? Well, come on. Then people need to see that. They need to see that, you know what? You're part of a royal family. That's right. Not the one from England. The one from heaven. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. The Holy Spirit seals us as children of God and begins to express his fruit of kindness in us as we learn to submit to him. So here are the things that has to take place through the Spirit of God. Why? Because we cannot do it without God's power, without his help. And it's found in Galatians right here. Look at this. But the fruit of the Spirit, notice capital S, the Holy Spirit, not our human spirit. Our human spirit is no good. It's no good. We need God's Spirit. Look at that. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Can you honestly say that you're patient with folks? Or do they get on your last nerve? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have what? See, there's something we have to do. We got to crucify that old man. Can I get amen? That old man wants to rise up. That's why you have to what? You got to watch your mouth. Bridle that tongue. And the way you bridle that tongue is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Oh God, bridle my tongue. Thank you, God. Look at this. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, Holy Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become what? Conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Praise God. You see, my friends, every believer can become a person characterized by consideration and thoughtfulness. Aren't you so blessed through the power of God? Let's look at our third principle here. God always expresses kindness to us. Always. Can you think of an incident in your life where God was cruel to you? I can't. Even in my BC years, he still saved my bacon. Did you know before you were formed in your mother's womb, he already knew you? He already knew that you were his. You didn't know. We were all walking around like doop-de-doos. And then God came and called us. He gave us ears to hear and eyes to see. He quickened us. We were dead in transgressions and sins. We were spiritually dead, but physically alive. And then God had to quicken us. Amen. Come on. Listen, if he didn't initiate, we would still be in our dead state. Just remember, when you go to a funeral and you see someone in that coffin, they are dead, right? They're dead. We were no different till Jesus came and made us come alive. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so God always expresses kindness to us, saints of God, but sometimes we misunderstand his actions. And this is where we need to clarify this morning. For instance, we may think his discipline is harsh, but it's really evidence of his loving care. That's right. Knowing that sin reaps a painful harvest, he intervenes to correct us. Kindness is God's desire for each and every one of us. Look at this right here in Proverbs. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. God is admonishing us this morning that it's better to be kind than to be what? Sorrowful and bitter and having a bunch of anger and resentment. We will come to our wits' end if we walk in that way. We got to walk in God's way. Can I get amen? Look what Zechariah wrote here. Dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion each to his brother. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, God. Now, how many believe that you've been elected by God and chosen?
Thank you,
Lord. Huh? That's right. He knew your name. I got some scripture for that. Right here in Colossians. Therefore, as the elect of God, that's you and I. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on what? Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. What? Bearing one another and forgiving one another.
Yes.
If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Can I get amen? So listen, I want to do what Jesus does. Can I get amen? If there's anyone to copy, I want to copy Jesus.
Yes.
You know how we copy and paste things, and then we put them in an email or whatever. We copy and paste it, right? Because none of us want to type out a long paragraph and misspell things. So we copy and paste. I want to copy and paste God to my heart. I want to be like him. Can I get amen? I want to be more like him. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Why? Because his way is better. His way is better. That's right. It is. And look what it says in verse 14. But above all things, put on what? Hey, I wrote that down wrong. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So you want to be perfected in Christ? Walk in his love. Walk in his grace. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be what? Thankful. How many of you are thankful to be in Christ?
Yes.
Come on, we're thankful, huh? Oh man, he's done a mighty work. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want you to see this real quick. The definition of chosen is a person or persons chosen by God, especially for favor or salvation. So that's the definition of chosen, okay? Now, I impose a question upon us. I shared this earlier. Look at this question. Why is kindness learned and it doesn't come automatically? Why? Why is this something that we have to learn to be like Christ? And I'll tell you why. Because we battle every day in this flesh that we live in. Can I get amen? See, you got to remember, our soul and spirit has been redeemed by God, but this flesh is still corruptible. We can still slander. We can still scheme up evil things, but we need God to bridle our tongue. Can I get amen?
Yes.
And I got scripture to let you know that this is the human heart. And all of us have that same heart. Until God changes us and gives us that brand new body, we're always going to be battling with this. In Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Now if you take the word sorcery, in the Greek, is pharmakia. These are drug dealers and drug users. Hatred, contentions, jealousies. Oh, I can play better than you. Outbursts of wrath. selfish ambitions. Look at that. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and all the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. This is like, this should be like a flashing light. Don't keep going this way. Why? Because there's no more road and there's a cliff there. And so this is why we have to learn to put on Christ. We got to learn his mercies. We got to learn his attributes. Can I get amen? You see, the scripture, it offers four examples of kindness. We're going to go through these quickly and then we'll close. Remember Joseph? I remember Joseph. His brothers threw him in a pit. He threw him in a pit. They forsook him. They hated him. That's right. After being mistreated by his brothers, Joseph could have taken vengeance on them, but he forgave them, saying this in Genesis, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." That's right. Can you say that in certain situations in your life where people have done evil against you, but God turned everything around in your life and made it for good? Can I get amen? We learned something from that, didn't we? Oh, that's right. It was ugly back then. It was hurtful. It made me be hateful. All of us have experienced that in one way or another. But God will turn it around for his glory. Can I get amen? Another person is Jesus, our own Savior. Can I get amen? When Christ met a Samaritan woman at a well, he didn't ignore her, as was the custom of the Jews back then. Oh, there's a woman there. Well, we can't get close to her. It was like, oh, she's got cooties. Remember that word, cooties? She's got the cooties. Oh, but you haven't heard that word in a long time, huh? Look at that. It was a custom of the Jews. Instead, he offered her water springing up into eternal life. Look at this right here. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into what? Everlasting life. And then we see this person right here, the Good Samaritan. So we saw Joseph, Jesus, and the Good Samaritan. Upon seeing an injured Jewish man lying on the road, a Samaritan stopped to help him, took him into an inn, and paid the owner to care for him. You know what? I look at no different how God took care of us here for a whole year. Because we were sent home by COVID. We were sent home. And a good Samaritan came, hallelujah, and made a way where it seems like there was no way. Can I get an amen? We serve a mighty God. Can I get amen? Come on. Take time out and praise God for what he's doing in your life right now. He's done great and mighty things, hasn't he? Hallelujah. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you." Thank you, God. It don't matter what it looks like right now. Hallelujah. There's going to be a brighter day. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Look at in Luke, it says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? Compassion." That's what God has had in our life, compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn. And he what? He took care of him. One that really was profound that I saw as I put this message together. Remember the jailer? Remember the jailer? Remember, he was the one watching over all the apostles that were in prison. And he made sure that none of them escaped, right? And so he had to be tough. Yeah, he had authority. He had a sword to chop off whatever he needed to chop off if they disobeyed, right? And we don't know what his demeanor was at the time. But when an earthquake opened the doors of a Philippian prison where Paul and Silas were held in stocks and chains, the jailer was terrified and asked how he could be saved. And look, And upon believing and receiving Christ, the jailer returned the kindness of Paul and took them out and he fed them. What? Look at this. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Because God did a miracle right in front of them. God did a giant earthquake and he freed Paul and Silas, and the jailer was struck. Oh my gosh. And they could have ambushed him. They could have took his sword. They could have killed the jailer. But the jailer said, "You guys were worshiping God in here. You guys were praising God in here. And yet you were bound to one another. And I was in control of you. And then I just saw God do a miracle." Man, God gave that jailer a paradigm change. Hallelujah. And now he wanted what they had. Is there people in your life that want what you have? We need to walk around with that anointing. We got to walk around with God's grace and God's kindness. Why? Because people then will see Jesus in you. And they'll want to be saved. Look what happened here. Believe. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, and you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, and all were in his house. This jailer's whole household got saved. Look at this. Look at this. And then he took them in the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. The jailer washed their stripes after he had beaten them. The same jailer beat them. And then he came and he washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. Man. When I was putting this sermon together, man, God had me weeping because we don't deserve this great salvation. Yet God, he bounded up our wounds. He healed our heart, especially from a horrid past. He saved us when we could have all died and perished. We could have died in our sin. I had $500 of crystal meth in my sock when God pulled me to the cross. I could have ended my life there. It could have been all over. And so, my friends, what are the qualities of a kind person? What are they? Here are the attributes. Here are the attributes. The attributes points of kind people. They give. They forgive. They have smiles, even in tough situations. Is willing to what? To be second. Is attractive and does not insist on having his or her own way. Takes pleasure in pleasing others. Has a pleasant disposition. Has concern and care for others. This is the attributes of Christ. Can I get an amen? Also, is gentle. Is warm-hearted, is unselfish, is generous, is understanding, is considerate, is thoughtful, is healing. Can you comfort someone and wait upon God's healing for one another? Is merciful, uses kind words, is helpful, is courteous, excuses mistakes. Yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it. God will forgive that. Don't worry. I don't hold that on you. It's goodness in action. It beautifies everything. And so, my friends, how can you develop a kind spirit? How? Number one, allow the Holy Spirit to produce his fruit in you. That's the key. Allow the Holy Spirit to manifest in your life and let God permeate his grace and his love in your life. And watch God do miraculous things in your life. You know, there's an old saying, I'd rather use honey than vinegar. Can I get an amen? I'd rather use honey than vinegar when I'm dealing with the situation, especially with another person. Christ-likeness, its kindness, can only be developed as you walk in the obedience of the Holy Spirit. And we're coming in for a close. I say then, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you shall what? You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Number two, lay aside all the attitudes that don't fit you. Don't fit who you are, like selfishness and pride and a critical spirit. Listen, when you have nothing good to say out of your mouth, you will attract more people. But if it's just something that's contrary to that, you'll have very little friends. They don't want to be around that. I want to be around. Listen, I remember what Bishop Trout, Father Trout, told me. You want to be blessed? Hang around with people that love God. Hang around with people that truly honor God. But you hang around with other people that don't have that same mindset on how loving God, they will contaminate your spirit. And you'll be more like them. Look at what Proverbs says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. And look at this third one. Treat others as you would like to be treated, courteously and thoughtfully. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Look what he said right here. Look at this right here. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, if you were to cut open a pomegranate, how many love pomegranate? How many seeds are in a pomegranate? 613. Okay, so why did the priests put pomegranates on the bottom of their robes? Because that's how many laws they were in the Old Testament, 613. So when you crack open a pomegranate, count each seed, and there are 613. So, but the Word of God says, if you break just one of those laws, you've broken them all. So Jesus made it simple. He tried to convey, it's not about keeping laws, it's about loving God. So it's like a relationship. If you love your wife, if you love your husband unconditionally, guess what? Your love will cover a multitude of their sins. And you won't look at their sin. Why? Because your love will cover them. So God is saying, fall in love with Jesus, because we are going to make mistakes. We're going to miss the mark. But he says it best. He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws, all 613 that we break on a daily basis. And yet his love covers us. His grace is sufficient. Man, come on. Do we serve a mighty God? Huh? Do we serve a mighty God? Is he worthy to be praised? Focus. Focus on the needs of others and not on yourself. Discover how you can meet their needs. What can I do for you, brother? What can I do for you, sister? Huh? You know, one of the things that I've seen in Christianity, this is my fourth church in 32 years. My first church was North Park Apostolic Church, and then for a very, very long time, Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, and then I got ordained at Sarah Mesa Christian. I was just there for a short period, and then we celebrated, a couple of weeks ago, 15 years of Amazing Grace, okay? And I said all that to say this. I've seen in the Christian ministry, It's so easy to say, hey, can you do this? Can you lead this? Can you work this? And then, yeah, I can. And then you just say thank you. And you don't even think about blessing them. You don't even think about, you know what? A workman is worthy of their wages. And we take things for granted. That they have probably needs. And they're not telling you their need. They don't want to get personal. But when you come graciously and just bless them, it goes a long ways in life. Can I get amen? Amen. Learn to be a blessing to people. Learn to appreciate them that surround your life. People come and go in your life. We have seasons with people in our life. But learn at the moment that they're there with you to be a blessing to them. Can I get amen? So that when God moves them out, they're going to look back and say, you know what? That place was a blessing for me. Can I get an amen? That's how we need to operate. We need to have the Christ-like mindset. Thank you, God. Look at this. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. God is looking out for us in the household of faith. Yes, you are to be good to family members and friends, and I get that. But guess what? We're more important to Christ because we're the called out ones. He's coming back for his church, and that's us. Thank you, God. And so fifthly and lastly, ask God to help you develop the attitude of kindness. He will faithfully remind and prompt you to be thoughtful and what? Caring. Can I get an amen? Caring. And so, listen, go to God's word. Go to God's word. That's where you're going to find your wisdom. It says right here, if any of you lack wisdom in James 1 and 5, let him ask of God, who loves to give liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Praise God. Praise God. So I leave us with these questions. I leave us with these questions. Number one, let's go here. What do your reactions, or let me state that. What do your reactions to irritation or frustration reveal about you? Only you know what ticks you off. Only you know what gets under your skin. And so say, God, show me what really sets me off and help me in that area. Help me to be more like you, God. Listen, we never put anyone on blast up here, but you know what pleases God and you know what displeases God. Can I get an amen? Take it to him. Let him do the miraculous in your life. Number two, what can you do to more fully cooperate with the Holy Spirit so his fruit of kindness will be more evident in your life? I've heard it said best in this scripture, whatever you allow into your spirit, that's what's going to manifest right back out. So think about that one. Are you putting the word of God? Are you allowing his Holy Spirit to take preeminence of your life, that it would permeate his power and his grace in your life? Number three, how do you treat family members? I'm going to be honest with you up here. I got 11 brothers and sisters, and we all don't look at things in the same accord. Some of you just maybe have one brother and sister or two, but 11. And there's things that we don't look in the same mindset as Christ. But guess what we're called to do? To love them anyhow. Can I get an amen? We're still called to love them. We're still called and be there ready when they do, when God is drawing them and God is calling. They'll remember you and they'll know who to call. They'll know, oh man, I feel God calling me. And then when they call you, it's not a time to say, ah, I told you. No, it's time to say, oh, come here. Let's pray. God's doing something mighty in your life right now. Start building them up. Can I get amen? How can you ensure that courtesy rules in your home? I've always said it like this. And I say it in a kidding way. But do you leave church and go home and you kick the dog and you yell and scream? Or is there love and joy and peace and meekness and kindness and allowing the Holy Spirit to infiltrate your home? Sister Vera, I need to use your home. We came to your house one day. She has the Word of God everywhere. Every wall, everything that I saw, and the peace of God and the presence of God was in her place. And I said to myself, and as I drove home with Sister Yolanda, this is a lady that loves God. And so does Brother Manuel. They both love God. And I'm just boasting in Christ about your beautiful home, sister. And it did something when we came to visit. I said, man, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for such a home that loves you, that their home is a sanctuary to the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Number five, God's kindness is constant. How is he kind in the midst of sickness, financial trouble, emotional pain, or other suffering? Can you still find God's kindness in that? Can you still find joy in the midst of turmoil? When people walk out of your life and don't even consult with you, that they've gone, they're gone now. Can you still find joy when your company lays you off and you didn't see it coming? Can you still find joy? Can you still be kind? Lastly, what do you think is his loving purpose for allowing pain and difficulty in our lives? I've come to a conclusion, is to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Word of God, and to keep the Holy Spirit close to your heart in the times that we live in. Listen, this thing's not over, what we're seeing. It could turn for the worst. We don't know. We know that we do live in perilous times. And we all know that God is in control of everything. So if he's in control of everything, our trust is in the Lord. Amen? Come what may, our trust is in the Lord. Let's all stand and we're going to pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for the cross. For the cross is before us, and the world is behind us. Let us continue to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Strengthen us, Father, when we get weak. Help us be overcomers in the times that we live in. I pray that the joy of the Lord would be our strength. Help us raise our children, our grandchildren, in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Help us to love them, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, with unconditional love, that they would see Jesus in us. Oh God, we honestly do love you. And though we are few here this morning, you are mighty and strong in our hearts. And you're doing a mighty work in our lives. At one time we thought that we would never be in a building again, when we all were sent home. But for such a time as this, you have raised us up to bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, we pray, Lord, for a continual harvest, even in the midst of COVID, in the midst of this pandemic, that you would still use us in a mighty way. I'm praying for those who may need prayer, that you would come to the altar and we would pray whatever need you may have. And Lord, I pray, Lord, strengthen our day. And Lord, keep our minds upon Thee. That we would be the called out church, filled with Your promises, filled with Your power, filled with Your Spirit. We are heaven bound now, and now there's a hell to shun. And we are so mighty thankful, thankful for such a great salvation. Thank You for the joy that was set before us. Let us now press toward to the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. You said in the book of Matthew that when You appear to take us home in the clouds, You're bringing Your reward with You for us. Thank You, God. Let us keep looking unto You, the author and the finisher of our faith, that we would be daily, every day, in awe of You. And we could be thankful to what we have in Christ. So Lord, be glorified, be magnified, be high and lifted up. And when it's all said and done, let us all be mindful, O God, to give You praise and all the glory and all the honor, for it all belongs to You. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Is He worthy? Is He worthy? Jesus, we love You, Jesus. We love You, God. We love You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.